No problem.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined today on Ross FM 94.6 here with the one and only Mr. Robert Mizell. Hello, Robert. How are you?
Well, good evening to you, and thank you for having me on your show. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Listen, Richie D is delighted to have you on board. Let me tell you that. We're absolutely honoured here in Ross FM.
Well, you know, I was on Ross FM before, many, many years ago. I think I was actually in the studio, one of the studios there in Ross
yes.
Common. And I'm trying to think back now who the presenter was at the time, but it's great to be back on the air with you, and it's great to see that you're still going strong.
Yeah, we're trying our best out there. Robert, you came to Ireland in 1991.
Yeah, look, I came here very, very many years ago with my ex-wife, and myself and Lane met over in America, and we moved over here. She was Irish from Kildare, and we decided that we would try and make a life over here for ourselves. I was fresh out of the service, looking for something different. I was only a young fellow at the time. And, you know, I suppose coming to Ireland for me was, at the beginning, it was just something that I was going to do for a while and see if I liked it. And, well, here I am 30 years later. Can you
imagine? Wow, 30 years. And you brought a lot of joy to a lot of people here in Ireland. A lot of joy.
Yeah, well, thankfully, look, I mean, country music in this country, I've always made the point about Ireland that for the size of it, I mean, it's not a huge country geographically, but I mean, for the size of the country, the amount of people who love country music is phenomenal. And sure, look, that's what's given me my lifeblood, and it's what's helped me develop my career over the last 25 years, you know.
And can I ask you, was it hard for you to break into the Irish country scene when you arrived?
Well, I suppose I always tell the story. I done a show on the BBC recently, you know, and we were talking about that very same thing. And, you know, not to sound arrogant about it in any way, but I mean, I didn't sort of seek out the country scene. The country scene sort of found me because I had started. Well, I suppose I always had a love of music because it's in my family. It's my mother and father are both singers, and I grew up around music, and I always knew that I liked music, and I always thought that I could sing a little bit, but I never ever dreamed that I would do it professionally. But when a few people heard me, they sort of encouraged me to go for it, and I suppose at the beginning I was apprehensive about doing it, but I did, and I was quite nervous to start performing and things like that. But you know, I think it was sort of inevitable, and it was sort of fate for me, because you know, me coming to Ireland meant that. I didn't know it then, but all the people who love country music, if I had been in America, you know, America is a huge country and there's lots of competition. There's lots of talent out there. And I would probably got lost in that pool of talent. Whereas in Ireland, I suppose because of the fact I was American, I stood out, and people, you know, took a chance to listen to me. So I mean, there's lots of little small things that led to, you know, to my success, and you know, there's a lot of people that were helping me along the way.
Yes.
But as I say, it sort of happened to me, and I'm so glad and so thankful that it did.
That's great. And now, do you know the band, the Country Kings? Can I ask you, was it hard to form them, or did it just fall together easily for you, or was there a lot of hard work involved in that?
Well, there was initially. I mean, I think back to the very early days when we ran auditions for different musicians, and they came in and played, and you know, eventually we had the original Country Kings, which was some of the original players. Now, I have members of my band with me now at the minute who are with me over 15 years.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, my drummer and my piano player were my drummer anyway, he was one of the original players. Now, I mean, down through the years, like, we went through different players, but I think we're probably one of the few bands on the road that I've held so many members as long as I have. And I think it's because, you know, look, we work well together. We're friends, and we're also, you know, colleagues as well. But it was difficult, I suppose, to get the right match, because you see, I've always said that you could find a great musician, but you also have to find a person that can work in a group with other people. And sometimes a guy could be a marvelous musician, but he might not necessarily want to work with the guys he's with. So
yes.
I've been very lucky that I've had a combination of all of that. And like Martin Cleary was with me for many, many years. Pat Kelly, these guys have been with me over 20 years, some of them.
Right.
So we have some good history there. And but there's some newer fellas in now. I have a young lad in who's only 19 who's playing banjo with me now. He's a, you know, adds a great life to the band. So bands do change, but I'm happy to say the Country Kings has always sort of been quite stable.
Yes, they're a great band. You're a great actor altogether. You're a great act up and down the country. Kick-Ass Country was a big, a major hit for you.
Yeah, I think, I think that Kick-Ass Country was probably the first song that people recognized me for. It was written by Tommy and Jimmy Swarbrick, and I was doing some work with them at the time, and we had, you know, Tommy's a great songwriter, and Jimmy, and we sat down and we talked about different things, and Tommy actually wrote that song about me, because if you listen to the words, I was born in the state of Louisiana.
That's right.
So that song was written, and so we don't actually do that song anymore, and, I don't know why.
I think you should.
Yeah, I think so. Well, look, the only problem with the song from an Irish point of view is that it's not very good to dance to.
Right.
But, you know, I remember in the early days, you know, we used to get the young ones, the little kids, and it was an excuse for them to be able to say Kick-Ass Country, and they used to get a
and
kick
get away
out of
with it. And get away with it.
And get away with it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, but sorry, Robert.
Yeah, go ahead. No, it's okay, but I sort of think that at that time, you know, like Nathan Carter has a huge hit with Wagon Wheel. Mm. Well, at that time, that was my Wagon Wheel, because all those kids at that time just loved it. And, you know, maybe someday I will revamp it and put it back out again.
Yes, and but I really think that the song that really made you a household name in this country was Say You Love Me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Say You Love Me came to me through Willie Carty, who was managing me at the time, and you know, a song that I heard, the only version I've ever heard was Desi O'Halloran, but I do believe it was an old Bill Monroe song back in the 50s.
Mm.
But there again, you see, on that first album, and I remember this as we're talking, that Say You Love Me is track number 7 on that album.
That's right.
And the reason I always remember that is because when you listen to that album, even as a DJ or as an ordinary music fan, it's the song that just leaps off the CD for some reason.
It really hits you in the face, doesn't it? It really is a great song.
And as I say, I performed that song every night that I've been on the road, you know, for the last 20 odd years. So it's definitely one that I'll never forget.
It serves you well. Definitely does. In 2010, you had a great song as well. Mama Courtney was a great song, and I know it means a lot to you, that song.
And you know, it's funny the way the song was written, because, you know, I remember one day I was over in Spain on one of the, I think it was maybe a trip that Jimmy Buckley was doing or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because Henry McMahon was there, and, you know, I knew Henry had at that time had written great songs for Michael English and Daniel and for Jimmy. He wrote Your Wedding Day, and so I had sat down and I spoke to Henry at length, and we started talking about my life and the things that had happened to me and the fact that I was fostered. And Henry took it all in. He wrote down a few notes on a bit of paper. And the next morning he called me up to the room and he said, "Look, come down here." I said, I think I have an idea for a song. So, you know, it was almost as if I wrote the song myself, but I didn't, you know, but he got it so accurate and so close to my own life that, you know, it was bound to be a hit for me, because anybody who liked my music or anybody who loves country music could associate with it. And, you know, it's hard to believe that it's been 2010. It seems like it was only yesterday he wrote it, but I'm so glad for, and I always say this about Mama Courtney, and it's very true, that Mama Courtney, you know, no disrespect to her memory, but she wouldn't have been known in Louisiana. Nobody apart from her family and her close friends would have known who she was. But in Ireland, you know, she's a household name.
Well, of course she is.
I love that.
Yes, and it's beautiful. And you've made that possible for her. That's your memory of that beautiful lady who served you so well. And you've brought it to everybody's memory now, and it's kept forever that way. Another song I would like to ask you about, I've always wanted to ask you about this, Murder on Music Row, your duet with Colin Ray.
Yeah, a guy who I worked with for a long time, James McGarity, had a few American artists in at different times over the last number of years. And James, I knew Colin Ray was coming in, and I've always been a big fan of him. And I rang James and said, "Look, I said, any possibility that when Colin's in town, he might record with me?" A couple of other singers, I think Jimmy had recorded with George Jones and Mike Denver, I think, did as well. But I liked Colin's voice, and, you know, on the day that we went in to record that song, it was recorded in Granard in Scott Studios.
Yes.
You know, I was nervous about meeting the guy, and I was nervous about singing the song. And, you know, we had all of our bits done. Colin Ray arrives in, you know, he says hello to everybody, and so we chat for a minute. And then he says, "Well," he said, "do y'all want to sing the song?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely." He went into the studio, he sang it 2 times. And he was gone within 35-40 minutes, but a great gentleman, and a great, great talent. You know, he was always, you know, he's a live performer as well. I've seen him a few times live, and he could have been a rock singer. He could have been a pop singer. He could sing anything. So I was glad to have done that with him.
Robert, you travel up and down the country, north, east, south and west, and you bring a lot of great comfort and joy to an awful lot of people, thousands of people. Can I ask you, on the road, what's it like? I know we see you on stage for maybe 2 hours, but I could say safely, I'm sure, that them 2 hours cost a lot more in time for you to bring us that show for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, I mean, look, it starts, before I do a gig on a Saturday night in July, the whole process probably started the year before, you know, getting dates in the book and organizing yourself. And, you know, there's a lot of traveling involved. There's lots of, there's lots of things you have to do to prepare yourself, for life on the road. And lots of the young singers who started off now would know or getting a taste of that. But there's hours and hours in the car. There's hours waiting for gigs. And then after the gigs, you know, you have many hours where you're back talking to people, and because people love to get a chance to say hello, and which is a great part of our business, but it's also tiring at times. Then you have recording, and you have, we have charity events. Even in lockdown, I mean, in the last couple of months, I'm inundated with calls about doing bits and pieces, and I try to do as much as I can along with the bit of work I'm doing, but you know, this business would not be for everybody. I think you have to love it and you have to want to do it. But I think it's like any job that you see a nurse or a doctor or a carpenter who really love their work. If they're good at it, they do it because they love it, and it's their vocation. So I'm very pleased, and I'm very honored to have had this career. And I know the coronavirus thing has slowed us down a little bit, but look, we get back out and get going when the time comes.
Where do you see it all happening? What do you see? I know you can't answer. You can't look into the future.
Yeah.
What do you see for the music industry here in Ireland, and especially the country music scene, is what I'm interested in, and all the listeners.
Yeah. Well, if I was speaking to you 6 months ago, I could have told you my future for that next year, the year after that. Right now, I don't think musicians really have an immediate future. I mean, we're sort of in limbo. It's like a switch has been turned off, and the industry is gone. I do know, only heard today that there's talk of maybe getting some of the the smaller pub groups back into some of the pubs and stuff, which is a bonus. But
yes.
I'm always afraid of the fact that if the coronavirus cases start increasing again. We could be pulled back a couple of weeks or whatever. But look, all I can say is that, all of our lives, whether you're a musician or whether you're a plumber, we've all had to make changes now. I think when the virus is over and when we get past this immediate danger stage, I'm going to be looking at my career in a different way. I'm obviously going to be out performing. I might take it a little bit differently in the path that I take to try to maybe shield myself from, being completely locked down all the time. Like, I have a 6-piece band, and I have a full PA lighting system sitting up in a truck in Omaha, which hasn't been moved since February. So, but look, I've always said this in every interview I've done in the last couple of months, that, I'm sort of lucky in one respect, that I've been so successful over the last number of years that I put a few bob aside, and look, we're losing money every day, but at the same time, my family are still able to eat, and we're able to live, but I feel sorry for some of the musicians out there who work from night to night and who don't have that money that's saved up, and because no one saw this coming.
No, it hit us all out of the blue. We didn't realize at Christmas that we were Christmas after our Christmas family dinners together, that things were going to change so badly. I want to ask you one more question before I let you go, Robert, and thank you so much. You're a real gentleman to join me here on Ross FM. Listen, how did the idea for the Three Amigos come about?
Well, I think back to, because I mean, a lot of people don't realize it, but the Three Amigos has been on the road, once a year, every year for almost 10 years. We did take a year or two break there in the middle of it, but, I think it was a case of Jimmy and Patrick are such, they're great singers in their own right, and they They both have great personalities, and we were sort of looking to break away from the dance scene in a small way. Like as much as we love doing the dances, you know, you can sometimes get yourself pigeonholed into a certain area of the business. And we were very successful at the dances, and we were all doing great crowds. And
yes.
We were happy with that, but we just wanted something different. And it wasn't until we stepped on stage together and we sort of found that there was such a chemistry between the three of us that we just enjoyed singing together. We enjoyed the crack. And I always say that we're like three schoolboys in a schoolyard when we get
but
together.
But your deep voice lends an awful lot. Oh, my God. The deep voice, I think, and your American way of bringing over country music is the only way to describe it as only fantastic. Absolutely.
Yeah, well,
I think, as I say, that's
why I'm saying, I mean, many years ago, before I became a country singer, I was big into pop music. And, you know, maybe I had aspirations at one time to do that kind of music. But because of the voice type that I have, you know, it suits country music, suits me, and I suit it. So I'm glad that, you know, I have that talent. But it's like everything else, you know, Rich. We all have to, you know, there's lots of guys and girls out there with lots of talent. But I think mm-hmm. you need to, and I always tell young people, you know, if you have a talent, you know, make sure that you develop it and you work it and you use it to your best benefit, and that's what I've been lucky. I've been able to do. I have an audience here in Ireland that like what I do, and you know, if I can say this,
yes.
You know, I mean, there's a lot that God had to do with it as well, because he was looking down on me and sort of guided me in different directions, and I think Mama Courtney and all the people that I've met here in Ireland, you know, the good people that I know, I think they all had something to do with that as well. So it takes a lot of luck and takes a lot of effort, but you know, I've got there so far, and I'm happy where I am.
And you deliver such a great product, absolutely. Robert Mazel, what can I say? Only thank you so much. Oh, before you go, you know this Boogie on the Brava, bring it back, will you?
Oh, well, I tell you, you know, would you believe that we were heading out in May? We had 300 people, good friends and fans, heading out in May, which we had to cancel that. And I have a tour going out. Well, I was supposed to go out in October to Nashville, which I'm not quite sure if that's going to be happening yet. We don't know. But I miss those times. And it's not just a financial thing. Obviously, you know, we've lost money on those shows. But I think that, the people who love country music, you know, they love getting away. And what better way to get away than to go away to the sun and listen to music for a week that they like. And, you know, we really missed that. That was a big blow to us this year. But look, I'm confident that next May we're gonna get back at it again.
Yeah,
and it'll be some party when it happens.
That's the atmosphere. That's the attitude. Attitude is all about. Yeah, you know what? People around Roscommon today, and the locality, and the district, and the show goes out over podcast all over the world. Actually, I have some great listeners on board, and I will say this: that they will give their right arm to be Richie D right now talking to Robert Mazel.
Well, look, it's much a pleasure for me, Richie. You know, look, I said we all working together during this difficult time, and one of the only mediums that we have, singers and entertainers, to get out to the public is through radio and internet and things like that. So we appreciate the fact that you're giving us the time.
Thank you, Robert. You're an utmost gentleman, and on behalf of all of my listeners, I'd like to say a very big thank you for joining me here on Ross FM 94.6.
Well, thank you very much. And maybe someday when all this is over, we can get back in and we can do another interview face to face.
Yes, why not? You'll join me in the studio without a doubt.
Yeah,
oh, God.
That'd
Robert,
be great.
Robert, take care of yourself and your family.
Thank you,
I wish you all the very, very best of success in the future.
And to you and all your listeners, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Robert.
Bye-bye.